Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Sherry Ann Boudreau as my special expert guest. Sherry is a Canadian professional natural fitness and figure athlete and works as a fitness model and aerobics instructor. She currently resides in Austin, Texas, where she is preparing for her first bodybuilding show at the Texas Shredder Classic. Sherry is a former Miss Exercise World and has a strong background in water sports, aerobics, soccer, rugby, and gymnastics. As a mother of three children in her 30s, Sherry provides an outstanding role model for women with children, especially those who struggle with body composition management. Through her own self-discipline and training methods, Sherry encourages everyone to set goals and go after their dreams. Her future plans include co-writing a book and competing in figure, fitness, and bodybuilding competitions. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to Sports Nutrition Update.
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me.
How's it going down there in Austin, Texas?
It's great. The weather is beautiful. I'm training hard for Worlds.
Now, Sherry, you've got a very strong background in competitive sport and athletics. How would you compare training for a Miss Fitness or bodybuilding competition to, say, an athlete who's engaged in soccer or gymnastics?
Well, first of all, there's little to no weight training involved in soccer or gymnastics. Most of the practice that is done, performance-oriented exercises geared to training your muscles to perform aerobically. Bodybuilding is mostly anaerobic. The goals in performance sports is how well you perform. Bodybuilding is how good you look. Training for each of these is very different. For bodybuilding, each person must find out their body type, example, their body composition, where they are now to be, basically where their needs are to attack the path to success in their own unique way. For example, one person may have to reduce their carbohydrate intake to almost nothing, whereas another might have to increase. I guess what I'm saying is that a very disciplined diet plays a huge role in the training for the bodybuilding and fitness competitions, and not as much of a role in soccer and gymnastics. So you can imagine that Miss Exercise would be doubly difficult because it is a combination of the bodybuilding as well as the performance. And additionally, the performance for Miss Exercise requires significant amounts of plyometrics, where training, which is all done in on short but explosive bursts to the music that is pumping at 150 beats per minute, and you've got about 60 to 80 minutes of, you know, completing the exercise.
So athletes engaged in so-called regular sport are not so much concerned about what they look like as opposed to how they can function on the field or on the court, whereas in, say, Miss Fitness or bodybuilding, it's more about what you look like, so there's more attention paid to nutrition and how it affects you, the outcome of your body and its appearance.
Exactly, definitely that.
And yet, the function of sport is relative to nutrition, so I suppose you've learned that excellent nutrition, although as a soccer player or gymnast, it's not so much about what you look like. Nutrition fuels the body, gives you energy and stamina, and so that especially is important for, say, long-term function and excellence in sport.
Yes. Basically, in all the sports, the diet is two different types of diets, but it's still a very healthy, balanced diet where you would have more carbohydrate intake in the soccer and gymnastics because you need to exert all that energy. But then you would have of a higher protein diet with a lower carbohydrate intake when you're doing your, you know, bodybuilding and Miss Fitness.
And as a general principle, that also applies to, say, average people, where what you're talking about is carbohydrate management. If you're physically active and more aerobically inclined, you need more fuel, more biological gasoline to move the machine, right?
Exactly. If you're taking the body the longer the distance, then you definitely need the extra carbohydrate for the fuel.
Okay. Now, you won the Miss Exercise World title in 2002. Can you tell us how you prepared for this event?
Well, I trained for it for a long-term goal. Basically, what I did was instead of working for it hard and short-term, I took my goals and I spread them out throughout the 1 year. So basically, it was just a progression into it. I didn't just wake up and say, hey, I want to win this title. It started much more like, I want to look good, feel good, and then it progressed into, I want to take this to the next level. So I set short-term goals, and then I set larger and then longer-term ones. So winning this exercise is more like a stop on a very tall mountain, just another stop along the way. So more to the point, I would say that my training was more like performance training than bodybuilding. I was eating from the four food groups, keeping my intake balanced, getting proper sleep. I was an aerobics instructor, so that made things really easy. My training was mostly going over my routine over and over and over.
What is that routine like?
The routine basically is about, depending on what you're competing in, what federation, is about 1 minute and a half to 2 minutes of, you pick a theme that you want to, you know, basically best enhance who you are. So just a theme saying, this is me, this is my personality. In that theme, you're going to choose some dance moves, some strength moves, also some flexibility and gymnastics. So, and then you take about 3 to 4 songs to introduce each one of those. You just go from there and just stand on stage and just go for it.
So you're training in the gym, and that alters the composition of the body. How does a Miss exercise or figure woman train compared to, say, a bodybuilder in the gym?
Bodybuilders in the gym, they spend more time on their weight training and practicing their posing and holding their posing, whereas Miss Fitness and figure competitors spend more time concentrating on their routine because that's where most of their mark is made up of. Basically, Miss Fitness and figure is just, this is what a healthy fitness person looks like, and then showing a performance to bring out all of what enhances their look. They don't have to stand there and pose. They just do their little bit of a routine. So the difference between the two would be more Miss Fitness and figure would be basically your routine and personality and anything geared towards, you know, fitness. Bodybuilding is more, this is my body, this is what I look like, and this is how I flex. So it's slower in bodybuilding and a lot faster in fitness and figure.
Now let's talk about the millions of people that work out in gyms across North America, and for that matter, all over the world. You've seen them, I see them. They go in the gym year after year. Now they're getting fitter, their cardio is improving, their strength is moving up, but they don't seem to change in terms of body composition, or maybe they're not gaining the muscle they want, they're not losing the body fat. Is there any factor that you can account for this?
Yes, I from working in the gym, I'm working with a lot of women and men for that matter, and sometimes children that are not paying enough attention to their diet. They eat maybe once or twice a day. So basically, I think that a diet that makes results is pretty hard to keep up for most people because at an earlier age, they're not taught properly. I think the person should eat the right amounts of each serving from the four food groups every 2 to 3 hours, but not big portions, just enough to keep your body satisfied. Most people eat huge portions once or twice a day, and sometimes they don't eat till nighttime, so they're binging. And then this forces your body to store what you eat as fat because it thinks it's being starved. So I say eat less more often. When going to restaurants, I find they serve you enough on one plate for two people. I would normally share a meal with someone, and it also cuts the cost. When I'm driving around or going to the gym, I keep apples and nuts in my gym bag or in my car. So when I feel hungry, instead of going through the drive-thru at Wendy's or McDonald's, I'll just grab an apple and a couple walnuts or almonds. So, I mean, even these days, going through fast food restaurants, they have a fat-free menu, so it's really not that hard to choose healthy foods that are unprocessed.
So it's a consciousness of quality. You have to always be selective and mindful of what's going in and what it's going to do to your body.
Exactly. Not concentrate so much on your taste buds, but concentrate more on the body. So you can live longer, healthier, have more energy.
Good point. Now, are you from BC originally?
Yes, from Victoria.
Okay, great. Now, as a Canadian living now in Texas, what do you see? Are there some differences in the American lifestyle? Like we up here, we think of Americans as being maybe bigger overall. We talk about their meal portions being bigger.
I've noticed since I've been in the U.S. that there is a huge amount of fat-free and sugar-free products here, whereas in Canada, you don't find that much. And I know fat-free, sugar-free products contain a lot of chemicals. And I truly believe that if you eat the unprocessed foods with the higher fats in them, but eat them sparingly, then that's a better choice than eating fat-free, sugar-free, because people think of fat-free, sugar-free, so that means eat more of it. And so they're not losing weight, and they're saying, I'm eating fat-free, I'm eating sugar-free. But they're still eating huge amounts of it. So I say go for the whole foods, the unprocessed foods, with the fat in it, the good fat, and just eat it sparingly.
So the fats that are in natural food are by design usable. The body takes them in, recognizes them, can process them. But what you're saying is that a lot of these fat-free, sugar-free foods have been chemically manipulated and altered, so they're kind of like foreign materials going into the body.
Exactly, and it causes a lot of due stress on the body, I'm sure, in time. I just know that since I've been here, I've met a lot of people just around the town that are just day-to-day people that go to the gym here in a while, and as soon as I introduce myself and what I do, the first thing I hear is, well, I'm heavy because of this and that, and I had this and that, and I think that if they spend more time and focus their energy on taking the action, you know, the short-time goals on how to get healthy and stop saying, I'll start tomorrow, I will start fresh on Monday. Your body doesn't know tomorrow or Monday. The sayings that I'm frequently hearing, I know from experience, you need to start today, right now, or you never will. You need to eat for your body, not your taste buds, and that's basically the first thing I tell everybody that I meet. Because many people, not just the women, have weight issues. It's just that women are most focused on weight. When a person becomes overweight, they focus on that more, causing a kind of depression. So, strangely enough, food becomes a friend that is always there, and they eat comfort food. Comfort food tastes good. My advice would be for the people to start eating for what their body needs and learning. There's lots of stuff you can find on the internet on how to make these recipes, healthy recipes, and just, you know, for your children as well. You need to eat right to keep your body healthy. You can still have those comfort foods as a reward. I keep it to once a week. We're seeing a lot more overweight children here in the U.S. That's what I've noticed. The kids can be taught at an early age about healthy eating if you cook right and give them the education to choose healthy foods. My children love food. They love veggies and dip. That's their favorite treat when we watch movies. They'll choose that over anything. And not fat-free dip, but a regular healthy dip made out of yogurt and dill. So I just think that staying away from fat-free, sugar-free foods, chemical foods is your first choice when you're deciding to go for the weight loss.
Now, what about some of the weight training principles with your clients, say females, say mothers with children that are struggling with the battle of the bulge? What kind of a routine do you set them up with in the gym?
First thing I do is I like to take them through basically a whole day of setting up a program with them so I can see where they are at. A lot of women have never even touched weights or seen them for that matter. So I like to start off with bands, something that they can do at home if they can't make it to the gym. Getting a body ball and some bands to start is a great way to start getting the muscles fired up. Just sitting in front of the TV on the ball instead of on the couch, great for the torso. And just pulling on the bands. If they're at the gym, I can give them maybe a 5 or 10 minute little workout that they can do and then start working their minutes up as they start coming to the gym so that they're not just forced into the weight room, because it can be very confusing, especially if you don't know your muscles and what you're working out. So I usually just start women off with either choosing aerobics, which is fun because you've got the music there, or just putting on their own Walkman and doing a little bit of bike and a little bit of walking, and then start on the ball with some bands.
Now, what about the psychology of fat loss or weight management from a woman's perspective? Things like low self-esteem, stress management. It seems as if statistically there are more women that have problems with eating disorders than men, for example.
Yes.
How do you resolve these kinds of issues when you're talking about management of food and carbohydrates, fats and proteins with a woman who's overeating or connected to some kind of stress paradigm and she's releasing that stress through a connection to food?
First thing I ask them usually when I learn from them that it's food that's making them happy, but it's also making them sad. So it basically I ask them the time frame that makes them happy is during the time that they're actually consuming the food. But the frame in which is making them sad is longer periods until they get to the next food. So then I try to reverse them by saying, you know, pick a huge list of all these foods that are healthy for you and design your own meal. It's fun. It takes time away from eating. So you'd start designing your own meals. So then you get excited because every 3 hours you're going to eat something and design your own menu. So that gives them a good start because it gets exciting because as I'm explaining this to them, they start saying, oh, and I can do this with that. Oh, this is exciting, you know. And I give them the information on the Internet for recipes. So that makes it fun, especially for women because they love cooking. So if you start giving them the correct information to putting menus together, give them a food list of what's healthy, what's not healthy, they go from there. I've seen a lot of women light up when I say, you can actually have this and put this together with that, but this is how much you can have of it. They're quite happy.
So you keep getting back again to this idea of feeling free to eat a variety of foods, just eat less of them when you do eat. Eating more frequently seems to be the key too, because doesn't that raise your metabolic rate and sort of pull you away from this feeling of deprivation?
Well, studies have shown that it raises your metabolic rate, but it's not a significant amount. I think that it's more in your brain. Basically, what it comes down to is listen to your body. If you're hungry, then go ahead and grab something, but choose something healthy. Don't bring stuff in your house that's not healthy. I know most women will say, but my children like it. Well, that's not teaching them a healthy way of eating either. Bring all healthy food into the house and make healthy food fun. You can do a lot of stuff with kids, like my children, they would love the wheat pancakes with, you can put like raisins on them for faces, and they just love that. They don't think about the boxes of sugar with Fruit Loops and stuff like that. You can make food fun, and I find I had to do the same. As soon as I started taking the food out of the house that was processed and bringing the unprocessed food in, you can make a lot of stuff with that. So yeah, it still comes down to portions and eating more often.
Now, what about dietary supplements, vitamins and minerals? There's a lot of sports nutrition supplements out there in the market. Do you find any of them to be of benefit, or do you use any ones in particular?
I don't get really heavily into all the types of supplements out there that bodybuilders and fitness and figure competitors use. I'm sticking to my essential fatty acids because I know that that's what I need. For protein, I take in as much protein as I can through meat, but there are times when I'm hungry and I'll just take in a protein shake. But for supplements, I'm sticking with my multivitamin and my essential fatty acids. Sometimes during contest time, I'll have to up my calcium intake. But other than that, I don't take a whole lot of supplements, just the stuff that I know I need from day to day, and the rest comes from food.
So now you're in Texas and you're training for your first bodybuilding competition. You've got a strong background training and being successful in Miss Exercise and Figure and Miss Fitness. How are you training for a bodybuilding show? What approach are you taking?
Basically, a significant difference. Right now, I'm just getting ready to go back to Worlds to defend the Miss Exercise title. And so basically, my diet's been going on for about 4 weeks. After the 4 weeks is up, it's going to change a little bit after I compete at Worlds, because the bodybuilding requires a lot leaner look, so body fat percentage is probably half of what it would be when I'm on stage for Fitness and Figure. So I'll probably be upping my protein, my carbohydrate, training harder with the weights than I would be right now.
Does your body respond to heavy lifting, or do you like to mix it up and do like heavy weights, intermediate, light weights, high reps, low reps? What's your approach on training?
I like to mix it up quite a bit. Like 1 week I like to do heavy lifting. Then the next week I like to do less lifting but a lot more reps. My body responds if I keep changing it instead of keeping going along, especially where my joints are concerned. Too much heavy lifting, I find I get a little bit too much pressure on the joints and it starts to hurt. But if I change it up, I see quicker results.
Now, regarding your lifestyle, you might be able to put together a package for yourself and for someone else, and you're very dedicated and disciplined, and I know that you love what you're doing. What impact does your personal commitment to what you do, what impact do you think it has on your children?
My children. My kids have, since I've started in fitness, which was 8 or 9 years when I started working for Fitness World as an instructor, I noticed my kids, as soon as they started seeing me participating in fitness, they started doing the same thing in school. I think my kids look up to me as a role model, like normal children would. Other children would look up to, you know, Superman or Wonder Woman. My children speak quite highly of me from the feedback I get from parents and friends. It's really exciting when I get the feedback from other children's friends and their parents, because it really opens up your eyes when your kids have positioned you as their strong role model. Just last summer, my son Blair wrote an article and submitted it to Oxygen magazine, and they printed it in the October 2002 as an exclusive article called Work in Progress. They paid him for this, and his English teacher actually increased his grade for his report. And it was a total surprise. I had no idea. I was shocked and amazed at not only that he had did this, but at the fact that he wrote about me as a role model and how proud he was of me. My 8-year-old has been bringing my photos from the Fitness World advertisements and my magazine contest wins from the Natural Bodybuilding and Fitness into her class and doing them as a show and tell, and she writes in her journal daily about me, which I learned from her teacher. My 3-year-old, she just, at home when I'm working out on my ball, she'll sit beside me and start dancing and exercising, and she always says, "I exercising like mummy," and she's just smiling, happy, and they're so energetic. All 3 of my kids are really energetic. They eat really healthy. I'm teaching them to eat healthy, and I'm teaching them to make better choices when they're outside of the home, when they're choosing foods, because my son's 16 years old, and typically, kids at that age, they usually have quite a bit of acne, and they love to go to the McDonald's. My son's got really healthy skin, and he's got good grades. He's on the honor roll. I think they've just been my inspiration, and having them has really kept me focused to becoming someone they can look up to and proud of as well. I want to stay healthy so that they can be healthy, and they also see me going after my dreams and achieving my goals, and I think really that's what life's all about. So teaching them all this is going to help them better off in their life in the long run.
So a family that trains and eats well together stays together?
Stays together, happy, and they always stay together.
Now, talking about your own personal dedication and commitment to the sport, where do you find your motivation to train comes from? Where, like, people are always looking for that edge. They're almost wanting to buy motivation in a bottle. Where do you find the motivation that you depend on comes from? Where do you pull it from inside?
For me personally, I have always loved the challenge. My parents told me when I was a child I loved the challenge. It was always, I can do this, then I could say, I can do this better. But my father, Dennis, who adopted me when I was about 4 years old, he was very disciplined. And I believe he takes most of the credit for my motivation, because he always pushed when he saw we were falling down. I never noticed it back then as I was growing up, but I have really benefited from his strict parenting. And when choosing to compete, raising children and working, I always look back at his skills that he taught me. I find myself doing that every day. And they always tell you that when you get older, your parents always say, you'll understand when you get older. And now I know what they mean by that. Also, my employer, Fitness World, and 4 close friends of mine that are an extension of my motivation come from Fitness World, and they've driven me to be my very best. They've been pushing me when I'm down low, next to my children. They've all just been there for me, so I think every individual, there has to be somebody in everyone's life that they look up to. For me, those are the people that I looked up to, and they're the ones that believed in me, and I just never knew that until I started growing older, what I could accomplish, until I actually said, I'm doing this today. And they said, do it today then.
Now, your future plans include writing a book. What kind of a book would you like to write?
I actually have plans and on the go of that right now, co-writing with Dave Gooden. They call him the Texas Shredder. And I really look up to him right now because he is a lifetime natural bodybuilder. He's achieved results that people say you can't achieve naturally, but he's proven that. He's healthy. He owns his own gym here in Texas. He just keeps on, he's just very motivating. He's positive. He keeps on going. He's got children of his own, and I see them now following in his footsteps. I just think to write a book with him is definitely an honor, but he's got all the information where bodybuilding is concerned and nutrition, because he follows nutrition day to day. It's always an ongoing thing for him, healthy choices when it comes to food. I have the knowledge for the fitness and figure, so together, as my trainer, I think we can put a pretty good handbook together in prepping for natural shows and keeping people on the line to natural instead of offline to the unnatural look.
Do you think the natural, as opposed to the chemical or pharmaceutical, is moving forward and is going to stay around for a while?
I think it's going to take over eventually. That's my hopes, but I really believe that there's so many more federations that are drug testing now that it's just going to be come to the point where that's just going to be bottom line, you know. And I'm hoping that one day a natural federation will become as big as the IFBB, which is the non-tested, because I really think that, you know, we have to show an example to the children that are growing up that are going to be right up here one day. So I think that that federation is definitely growing. There's a lot more testing now than there was before.
Well said. That's great. Good news, Sherry. Well, our time is up, and thanks very much for participating as our special expert guest on this month's edition of SNU. Now, I know you've got a website out there. Why don't you tell us what your website address is so our people can go there and find out more about you and some of the products that you have to offer?
My website is sherryannboudreau.com. Most of the time, I do little short Siri articles on different websites, which most of the time, if you just punch my name into the Google search, it'll bring up all the sites where I talk to people about the natural bodybuilding and fitness and explaining how to get started and how to keep going. My favorite friend who lives in Surrey, his name's Don, he owns a nutrition store called Direct Nutrition. He keeps tabs on me, and he has all the information that anybody would need to get in touch with me if they want to just get started in fitness or figure or even just eating day-to-day healthy lifestyle, especially women that have had children. That's my goal right now, is to start getting those women out there that have had children that think that there's no hope in looking healthy. That's going to be my goal, is to help them get going.
Okay, so that's www.sherryannboudreau.com. That's SHERRYANNBOUDREAU.com. Thanks again, Sherry. It's great to have you on the show. And just before you go, would you mind leaving us with a word or two of inspiration?
My line of inspiration, this is what I tell everybody, and it really makes sense, is the people that strive to achieve goals will do that. So basically what I'm saying is start today, because tomorrow will never come.
Outstanding. Okay, Sherry, take care, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Corey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services, located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free at 1-866-922-2229. This is Lisa Holly, wishing you the very best of health and wellness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.